Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, hosted by myself, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, I'm delighted and elated to come before you on tonight so that we can explore the Word of God together. This is truly a day that God has made, and we should learn to rejoice and be glad there in it. I'd like to tell everyone out there tonight, Happy Valentine's. Valentine's Day is a day that represents love. And God is full of love, the total essence of love. So to each and everyone, I say Happy Valentine's Day. And when we get ready to explore the Word of God together, I want you to know tonight we're coming out of the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. You were asked to read the 7th, 8th, and 9th chapter. And I pray that you had time with your busy schedule to read the Word of God so that we can be all on one accord on tonight. And the title of our lesson is Jesus is our High Priest. So I just want to say thanks to God for allowing me, his humble servant, to be able to come before his people on tonight. And I thank each and every one of you from taking time out of your busy schedule to come as we explore the Word of God together. I'm going to go ahead and play a song, and I think this song is truly appropriate for our lesson tonight. The title of the song is Justified. I want you to open up your minds, and as you saw, if you read the chapters, the 8, 7, 8, 9, just the 8th chapter, you see that God is telling us who Jesus is. Jesus is our high priest. And I hope through the study tonight that we will understand why we needed a high priest. So I'm going to go ahead and play the song, because the song title is saying Justified. When Jesus became our high priest, he did that, and with that, he justified us. He justified us. So listen to the song, be prayerful for our lesson on tonight that the word don't return void. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace. And as always, if anyone would like to pray, you know to press the 1 button and I'll open up the mic. So listen to the song, be prayerful, be blessed, and we'll come back and we'll explore the Word of God together.
Show that with his own blood.
Come on and just jump. God did it. God did it. God
as the song said, God did it. Don't get it twisted. There's nothing that we could have done for our salvation that could have saved us. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't do enough. We couldn't work hard enough. But it's by the grace of God. All things through Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. I have a lot of more callers than came in, so I'm going to give the title of the lesson again. And, you know, we're in the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. The title of our lesson is Jesus is our High Priest. And for those who just came on, again, as I told the people earlier, happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is a day that represents love, and it's one of the most loving holidays where people show their love to one another. But God wants us to do it every day, not just on a day. So we should keep that in mind, and we should learn to love one another with our whole heart, in season and out of season. So when we get ready to do the lesson tonight, I pray that you have your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, please get it. We are in Bible study. And when you usually go to study, you use books. So I do a background as always, and I wanted to let you know that the book of Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews is unknown. But what we do know is that all scriptures were given to man, but inspired by God. So even though we don't know who the author is, we know God's hand and footprints is all over this book. And if you read the 7, 8, 9 chapter, you could have got some more information. You see, the book of Hebrews was written because the Jewish Christians to whom this letter was addressed were tempted to abandon their Christian faith and return to Judaism under the threat of prosecution. We remember from all of the books that we have studied how all of the Christians was always being persecuted, and some of them gave up to have an easier way. But these Christians who the writer of Hebrews was writing to, some of them was thinking about returning to Judaism. You know, some of them was thinking and said, hey, you know, we didn't have it so bad as Jews. The Jewish religion was a good system because it spelled out how we should live. You see, but the rituals that was in there was familiar and satisfying to those who practice it. It was the fate of our forefathers for many centuries. And they thought maybe we should go back to the way things were. You see, to truly understand the pull of the past, we need to realize that religious traditions die hard. And I come to tell you tonight, in many of our churches, religious traditions are still alive. You see, the author of Hebrews was trying to convince the people that a religious system of sacrifices, rituals, and rules and laws that were in place for over 1,400 years has now been replaced by a better way. You would think that this would be exciting because, you know, it was hard trying to do all of those rituals and follow the rules and the regulation. And, you know, you made sacrifices, and every time you sinned, you had to bring another sacrifice. And the poor priest that was in the temple was had to, you know, be in there all day long because people were constantly sinning. And once you sinned again, you had to make another sacrifice. You see, the writer is letting us know, and he wants us to focus totally on the supremacy of Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all that was written by Moses, which was the laws, and the Jewish prophets. Come on now. You know, I say all the time, everything in the Bible points to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. And if he said it, that's what he did. You see, he introduced a theme, the writer I'm talking about, that is only presented in the book of Hebrews, where it speaks explicitly about Jesus Christ as our high priest. You see, we only will appreciate our need for a high priest to a degree that we realize, you know, once we realize how holy and unapproachable God is and how sinful and defiled we are. Think about the priests in the Catholic Church. Think about the prophets. Think about Moses. Whenever the people wanted something from God because their sinfulness, they weren't able to approach God. They went to Moses. Moses went to God on behalf of the people. God wanted to speak to the people, so he established him 17 prophets. The prophets brought the word of God to the people. You see, when Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on his throne, lofty and exalted, surrounded by the seraphims who called out, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. When he saw, talking about Isaiah, saw God in all his glory, he was outdone. It was so amazing, he couldn't hardly comprehend it. But what it did, it devastated him. Because immediately he became aware of how utterly sinful he was in contrast to God and his awesome holiness. You see, Israel in the wilderness had seen Moses go up to the mountain into a cloud with lightning and thunder and a loud trumpet sound, and they were terrified. Those people start howling, Moses, go to him. Don't let him come to us. We can't take it. Because you see, if the people got too close to the mountain, God warned that he would break forth upon them a deadly plague. You see, people were never righteous enough to go before God. You got to remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and sin came in the world, sin separated us from God. God put the sacrificial system in place, and he allowed them to sacrifice bulls, animals, and goats. Hallelujah. But we're going to find out what God did after that tonight. You see, the Jews knew that they could not go into the Holy of Holies to chat with God. Only the high priest could enter there, and only once a year. With blood. With blood. The Jewish people knew how desperately they needed a high priest if they were to approach God. Throughout its pages, Hebrew makes it clear that Jesus Christ exceeded all other people, pursuits, objects, or hopes to which human beings offer allegiance. What are you saying? No matter what it is you think got it going on, or what you think is what you need, Jesus is the one. You see, Hebrews pictures Jesus as a better than an angel, as bringing better lives to humanity through salvation, an offering of a better hope than a Masonic law could promise. And it's far better than the sacrifice for our sins using bulls or goats. You see, what Jesus brought and bringing as the high priest is providing a better inheritance in heaven for those who place their faith in him. You see, the sacrifices man made by human hands could never remove the sin. Y'all know it only covered it. God accepted to have a relationship, but they still couldn't go before him because of their defiledness. You see, when Jesus died, he shouted, "It is finished." The curtains of the holiest of holiest were torn down from top to bottom. And if we accepted what he had done for us, we was able to gain access to God for ourselves. You see, Jesus bridged the gap. You see, and you have to keep in mind, and after what the writer of Hebrew is telling us, we have to keep in mind that Jesus is indeed superior to all others. Superiority of Jesus is all over the book of Hebrews. And if we go into the lesson, we're in the 8th chapter, we're going to start at the first verse. I'm going to read the first, the second, the third, and the fourth verse, and the fifth verse. And the scripture reads as follows. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Look what the writer is saying. We done told you about all of this in Hebrews, and I even asked you to read the 7, 8, 9. He said, for all that you read and all that you know, he said, this right here is the sum. That's the scripture, y'all. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. 2, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which God pitched, you know, like with his own hand, and not man. 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. They say anytime you're a preacher, you got to have something to offer. Jesus offered himself. He became the sacrifice. And yes, he did go into the temple with blood because his blood was shed for us. So Jesus is fulfilling that role, baby. And 4, for if he were on earth, he could not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. 5, who serve unto the example and a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee on the mount. You see, when Moses got ready to make the tabernacle, he went on a mount. That's Mount Sinai, where he used to go and go before God, and God gave him instructions how to make the tabernacle. You see, he said Moses was astonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, and God gave him the instructions how to make it. But check out Jesus as the high priest. You see, in summary, the Messiah is coming to build the temple from which he is going to rule over the nations forever. You see, the kingdom of King Messiah and our high priest will not be for a limited period of time. See, all of that ceased. The prophets, the law, Moses, Abraham. Come on, y'all. He said, but he will not be limited for a period of time, but it will be forever. And it will not be built with human hands, but by God himself. You see, he will reign on into eternity when heaven and earth merges. When I read that, it made me think about thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the temple will be built in Jerusalem after the battle of Armageddon. And Israel will be radically changed. You know, we have to pay attention, and we have to look to the east, because, you know, the Bible teaches us that that was God's promised land. And God is going to do what he's going to do in the east, you know, and Jesus is going to return in the east, you know, and we have to keep all of that in mind. And you see, when they say Jerusalem will be changed, you know, it's going to be changed, radically changed. You know, it sounds like they're talking about the New Jerusalem, hallelujah, because, see, heaven and earth is going to merge. You see, the author of Hebrew is making the point that Jesus is our high priest, but he is not just the fulfillment of the Levitical priesthood, because, you see, the Levitical priesthood, the Levitical priests, they had to always stand when they were in the tabernacle or the temple, indicating that their work was never done. The priests had to make sacrifice over and over for the sins of the people. Now watch this, y'all. But Jesus has taken his seat at the right hand of the Father on the throne, having accomplished his work, a purification of sins. You know, we always say Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for our behalf. The reason he's sitting, because the priest that he is, he have done everything and is completed with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So he can sit. He can be seated. But you see, the Levitical priest from the Levi tribe, starting with Aaron back there, they always had to stand in the temple because they was always sacrificing and their work was never done. You see, but what Jesus has done, he has done all that can be done to accomplish our redemption. Thank God for Jesus. You see, to add any, you know, it is sad to add any human works or merits to what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Because if you do that, it is the denial that for some reason, sometime, somehow, some way, you say that what he did was not enough. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees always tried to get the Gentiles, once God opened the doors for them to be sacrificed, circumcised. You know, they were saying, you know, you can't be saved unless you circumcise. See, every time you add something to Jesus, you're saying that what Jesus did wasn't enough. Oh, you got to pray 6 times during the week and 7 times on Sunday. You're adding. Come on now. You're adding. So think about some of the things you may be adding in, and then really realize that it's Jesus Christ alone. You see, the right hand of the throne is the place of honor, power, and exaltation. And when they say sitting at the right hand and they talk about in the heavens, it refers to the dwelling place of God. And I'm putting this here because if you review the book of Hebrews, it talked a lot about Jesus in the order of Melchizedek. So I would think I didn't want to leave the lesson, even though it wasn't in our scripture that was printed, but it was what I asked you to read. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Melchizedek. You see, God always gave examples and witnesses so we could understand and see. God is using Melchizedek and his life to show us how great he was. And yet Jesus is so much better. You see, Melchizedek is a type of Jesus in the identity of the person. Yet Jesus is something more. Jesus is a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's what the scriptures say. So it should have perked your interest to understand what is really saying and what God is trying to say to you. You see, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham, the scripture said, the father of the Jews and all believers, in that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, and he blessed Abraham. And you know how great Abraham was. But Abraham gave honor to Melchizedek. You see, Melchizedek was also greater than the Levitical priests and the system they represented. The first thing to note is that Melchizedek was both a king and a priest in the same person, which was not allowed in Israel. You see, you may be a king or you may be a priest, but you couldn't be both at once. But Melchizedek was. It was remarkable that Melchizedek lived right by Sodom and Gomorrah and on the other side with the Canaanites. Now, you know Sodom and Gomorrah burned down. And you know the Canaanites was the evil people. But he lived right there. But yet, he was a righteous king and a priest. He held on to the confession of his faith. A friend of mine and myself was talking tonight, and he gave me another point on Melchizedek, where he said, you know, they said they don't know when Melchizedek, they don't know his beginning, you know, and they probably don't know when he died, and they don't know his end. Come on, y'all. And God allowed the writer of Hebrew to use Melchizedek as a witness. So if Melchizedek was this, and God said Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek, just see what the scripture is saying. You see, this show that God can raise up a godly witness for himself when and where he pleases. You see, like Melchizedek, Jesus is both king and priest in one person. So to view him only equal to the Levitical priest or to a king would make a spiritual fatal mistake. You see, their system would not allow Jesus to be a priest because he was from the tribe of Judah, and all of the priests came from the tribe of Levi. There's something about that Jesus, about the plan that God had before the foundation of the world. Yeah, God knew man was sin, and he could never in and of himself save himself. If you look in the book of Genesis in the third chapter, man fell, and in the same third chapter, God promised Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master. But his perfect system was designed to point ahead to Jesus Christ. God's system, God's master plan. Christ, who would supersede and fulfill all of his laws and prophets. You see, but to go back to the old way, which these Jews, Christian Jews, was trying to do, that the writer was speaking to in the book of Hebrews, you know, they was thinking about going back to the old way, would be to abandon God's only way of entrance into his holy presence. And we can now do this because Jesus is our high priest. I hope you understand Jesus as our high priest. And when you sometime pray, you say, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. Now you could add our high priest. And you could thank God for giving you a high priest. Because without a high priest, you wouldn't have an intercessor. The Catholic Church still, not as much as they used to, but they still make confession to the priest because of their sin. They figure they can't go before God. But we got a high priest. We talked about he was better than the law and the prophets and the Levitical priests. He's even more better than a Catholic priest. You see, if you decide to go back to the old way, it would be to turn from the only one who can save us from our sins, and you would be going back to an inferior system. That's crazy, but it happens because they have some people that's a Baptist for 50 years and Jehovah's Witness knock on their door 3 times and they change from the doctrine of Jesus Christ to the doctrine of Jehovah Witnesses, and you wonder how. See, the writer of Hebrew was trying to get them to be solid, to stand fast, to understand it's Jesus and Jesus alone, and show them all the love that God had for them by allowing Jesus to become the priest and how God set it up before the foundation of the world. Because he knew us in and of ourselves wouldn't make it. And you see, if we look at 6, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also is he a mediator of a better system? This is verse 6. Which was established upon better promises. 7. For if the first covenant, now I love this when I read this. This was so exciting to me. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second one. And what system, what covenant? God made a covenant with mankind, and they broke it. But if the first covenant would have worked, there wouldn't be no need for the second. And 8 say, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day comes, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And 9 say, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not. You see, this scriptures let us know that the old covenant could not achieve what we needed to enter into the presence of God. God, in his ultimate wisdom and love for us, gave a new covenant that provided everything that was needed for us to live a righteous life on earth and to secure our place in eternity. You see, the old covenant was a covenant of law between God and Israel. You see, the new covenant and better way is the covenant of grace. Somebody ought to be shouting, which is Jesus Christ. You see, Christ offered to forgive our sins and to bring us to God through his sacrificial death, and it included the Gentile nations. And that's important, y'all. You see, a Jew was God chosen, is God chosen people, because God don't take it back. And it was for the Jews. And at some point, God said to Jews, like he said in his scripture, you know, that they continued not in his covenant. So he opened it up for the Gentiles. And you need to know a Gentile is anything other than a Jew. If you're not a Jew, you are definitely a Gentile. And you see that his sacrificial debt included the Gentile nation. What a mighty God we serve. And if we go to our last three verses, and they read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart, and I will bring them, I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people." 11, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord." He said, "Because at that time, and they accept my son, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." And 12 say, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Look what he's saying. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I got to read that again, y'all. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And 13 say, "In that he said, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away." Hallelujah. It's so amazing that God gave us a new covenant, and some people want to stick in the old covenant, or they don't realize that He's going to be merciful on your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities, be remembered no more. But they are trying to earn salvation by their deeds. And when they sin, they figure they lose it. And when they don't sin, they figure they pick their salvation back up. You got to believe what Jesus says. When he was on the cross, he said, "It's finished. And I'm not giving you a license to sin." Because if you sin, there are already consequences in the earth realm to take care of your sin. You sin, you reap what you sow, you have the penalties of that sin on earth. See, they don't need consequences for sin in heaven because there will be no sin. Your sins will be taken care of here on earth. If you're saved, you will have to deal with your consequences. And yes, you will receive eternal life. Stop trying to figure out how to be saved. Stop telling yourself that you might not be saved. The Bible says if you accept the Son of God with your whole heart, you are saved. And I come to tell you tonight, you're either saved or you're not. You're not saved today and not saved tomorrow. You got to do 10 more steps and get saved. Or you got to do 10 more acts, deeds and get saved. Or you make a mistake tonight and you're not saved. You know what God would have to do to be able to take away your salvation once you receive it? Can you imagine? He would have to pull so many things back. But after reading that scripture there, God is now saying, "I am taking it from the outward design to the inward change with the aid of the Holy Spirit." You see, it is no longer an external set of rules, regulations, and principles. You see, we have to get away from that. You see, the Holy Spirit will give us new desires, helping us to want to obey God. Remember, you'll never do good enough to be saved. But once you understand Jesus as your high priest, sitting on the right hand of Father, interceding for your behalf, you should want to do good. Remember, grace is our greatest motive to serve. You know, now God's will should be something we desire with our heart and mind. Jesus took away the barriers so that we obey him. We have the right to go before God. We have the right to have the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus died, the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and walking with you and bringing things to your mirror, remembrance. But you're not working to be saved because you are saved. You should work. You see, the Hebrew writer was writing to the Hebrew Christians who, as I said earlier, had been considering to turn to Judaism. Perhaps because of immaturity, or it could have been stemming from a lack of understanding of biblical truths. And that's what holds people back to date. You know, they've been in the church for 100 years, and they're still drinking milk because they don't want to take time to study. Y'all know anybody like that? Because the Bible say if you're not doing it and you're doing it, if you're not studying to show yourself approved, you'll be ever learning. And the scripture says, but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. And you see, when they wanted to turn back to Judaism, I went and I researched, and I'm going to give y'all a little one-on-one on Judaism right now. You see, Judaism is the religion that they had, teaches God exists, all right? He is one, unique, and internal. Follow it now. When they say that, when that's one of their points of belief, what they're saying that there's no Trinity. There's no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, the Jews who practice Judaism, they love God, but they never accepted his Son. So we're going to keep looking at some more points. They believe when they pray directly to God alone, and no other, in which they're saying they don't have to go through the Son. And we believe that the scripture told us no man can enter the Father unless he go through the Son. Hallelujah. Look at the differences. They believe that the words of the prophets are true and that the Torah is the only word of God necessary. And you know that the Torah, you know, is used the first 5 books first 5 books of the Old Testament. They don't even like to go in the New Testament. But watch this. If they're going to only use that, and it switches the laws, you know, there were 613 laws. So they must believe that they could obey all 1,360 laws to receive eternal life. Go try. Go figure. It has never been done. Because if anybody could obey those 613 laws, guess what? Jesus would never had to come and die and be buried and resurrect so that we could receive eternal life, so that he become our high priest and not as the other priests go sit at the right hand of the Father interceding for our lives daily. Because if one man could have achieved all 613 laws, then everybody else would have had to get it the same way, because it would have been possible But God knew it wasn't possible. That's why he sent his son. Rest in what God has done. And then you see, so they don't want a need grace. They say a Messiah will come. That's one of their points, y'all. A Messiah will come. Not that a Messiah has come. And since no Messiah is needed or is available for them, they don't need an intercessor. And they don't need grace. Because they say they're going to do it on their own. Evidently. And some of the people who the Hebrew writer was talking to was trying to go back to that. You see, they are stuck in the old. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to show them a more excellent way. And as I get ready to close tonight, I thank God for the new covenant, because Christians could have never made it on our own. We could never be good enough to achieve salvation. Thank God for the new covenant where he allowed his son to become the high priest, our intercessor, because we couldn't go to the Father for ourselves. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the curtain that blocked the holies of holies was torn, and all of us had the opportunity to go to God for ourselves and to have a relationship. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving us a high priest. Because I'm going to sum it up. God has given us a high priest who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's out the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. In the 20th verse. And before I ask for anything, I realize that we didn't go to the throne of grace, but I want y'all to know before I go on air, I pray. But we always go to the throne of grace before we start the program, and I recognize that we didn't, but we're going to have prayer as we go out. So right now, we have a few minutes, and if anybody would like to make a comment, add to the lesson, if anybody would like to give words of encouragement, if anybody would like to ask for prayer or anything, you can press the 1 button on your phone at this time, and the mic will be open, and you'll be able to come across the airwaves. So no one would like to say or do anything at this time. Okay, caller, your number is 504-621-14. Your mic is open and you can begin.
I would like to ask for prayer. I've been having some health issues, and it seems to be from one thing to another. And I just want to encourage you to continue with the Bible classes, because they are truly a blessing. I've been on for the last 4 weeks now, and I am being blessed by the messages, and I would like to just ask for prayer for my health right now.
Okay. We will certainly do that, sister, when we close out tonight. If you'd like to give your name, you can, but you don't have to.
My name is Maddie Bernardo, and God has truly been good to me. And I just want to just give him all praise and glory, even for this Bible class over the telephone.
Thank you so much, Miss Maddie. Thank you for calling in. And we, And as a rule of thumbs, when we get somebody that asks for prayer, and I sometimes ask for the name, because each member in the Bible study is encouraged and asked for us to pray for one another. And we're going to definitely lift you up in prayer. And we're going to keep praying for you, not just tonight, but we're going to keep you in our prayer, Miss Maddie Bernardo. And thank you for listening. And if it's God's will and your desire, keep calling back in. And I pray that God has a word for you and that you be blessed. And thank you so much.
Thank you, too. I appreciate your prayer.
All right. Would anybody else like to say anything at this time? If someone would like to lead us out with prayer, you could press the one button on your phone, and you could lead us out in prayer. Caller, your number is 504-610-01. Your mic is open.
Good evening. This is Brother Marvin here. First of all, I'd like to say that the lesson is very fruitful and very blessed, and your instructions in it was superb. And I would like to close out in prayer.
And could you please remember Miss Maddie Bernardo?
Yes.
And I'm asking everybody to pray for my son. He needs, well, we all need prayer, but pray for him. Somebody, a church member of mine named Clarence Brooks, one of the ladies that was calling with us on the line about 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, she died. Now, Clarence Brooks, which is her cousin, he died on the other day. So the family have two deaths close to another. And I think from what I've seen that both of them were saved, but now we need to lift the family up in prayer. So we want, I'm asking all of y'all to pray for the Brooks family and the Richardson family. And, you know, all of their relatives, because Clarence and Thetis is all right, but we still have the family that's in the land of the living. Okay, Brother Marvin Ernest, you have the floor.
My Father, as we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for all things, thanking you for this blessed opportunity you have allowed us to share this evening in dissecting your word, Father God. We thank you for the instructor, the teacher that you have called to spearhead this movement, Lord. Ask that you continue to strengthen Sister Adams, continue to use her as your instrument as you see fit, Father. Lord, you have heard the petitions of Sister Maddie. Ask that you strengthen her, Lord. Give her the healing that she needs in all areas of her life. And when she returns back, Father God, we are looking for a serious praise report on how you have healed her, Lord, how you have strengthened her, how you have allowed her to be of one, Father God, with you in body, spirit, and mind, Lord, for that we all need that, Lord God, and we shall be blessed just to hear her powerful testimony on how you have looked upon her in a time of need. And Lord, we know we have lost Brother Clarence Brooks and his cousin, Lord God. We ask that you send a spirit of comfort to their families so that they may rejoice in the memories and the good times they have shared with him, Lord God. And maybe someone will reach out unto you more and come to your throne of grace for some healing, for some guidance, and just for your spirit, Father God, to lead their lives. For we know that they'll be absent from the body, but present with you is very valuable in itself, Lord God. And we'd like to also send out a special prayer to Minister Adams' son on his behalf, Lord God, for you know the situation in depth totally, Father, and we know that nothing can happen without your consent. But we reach out unto him interceding, Father God, for that you may comfort his spirit, first of all. Father God, allow him not to allow fear to overtake him, but let faith direct him, Lord, for that him too may have a powerful testimony of giving praise, thanks, glory, and honor to you, and letting the world know how you have worked in his life, Lord. For we know that you would like for all of us to be in good health and be prosperous in all things that we do. For all glory, praise, and honor shall go unto you, Father. And there are many that are listening, Lord God, that have likewise sickness in their families, some type of problem, some type of thing that is not of you, Father God. We ask that you come upon them, Father God. Cleanse that which needs to be cleansed and heal that which needs to be healed, Father. For your glory, honor, and praise, we thank you for all things. And we ask that you continue to use us as your instruments, allowing our light to shine forth to all, for that they may see the good works that you work in us and get you the glory, honor, and praise, because you are worthy of all praise, Father. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up our spirits in thanksgiving unto you. And we'd like to say amen. Thank you, Father God.
And let the church say amen. Brother Marvin Ernest, I just want to say thank you. It's very seldom we have a man join in with us and pray with us, speak with us, you know. And it's such a delight. You know, God is lifting up all kind of things and doing all kind of things. You know, just like he made a new covenant there because it was necessary, and Jesus became our high priest. We need a priest, not a Catholic priest, not even Moses, not Abraham, even not Melchizedek, but we needed Christ Jesus through the grace of God has become our high priest with his death, burial, and resurrection. And for that, we say thank God for Jesus.
Thank God.
That's our lesson for tonight. Next week, y'all know the lesson is going to be in the book of James. And I could tell you right now that you could start reading, because James is a short book. James have only 5 chapters. So I'm asking you tonight to read the book of James in its entirety. And I'll post where we're going to be, what scriptures we're going to be coming from. Y'all remember we finished the books of Paul, the letters of Paul, and then Hebrew was a break-in with, you know, we knew all 13 letters was written by Paul, and then we had Hebrews. We don't know who the author is. Now, plenty of times I taught and taught and taught that Paul wrote 13 letters, but sometimes you might see in writing that it's 14. The reason you may see 14 instead of 13 is because some believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But we finished the Paulinian letters, Paul letters, and we did Hebrews. The next books besides Revelation is letters as well, but it's letters that individuals wrote. James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then we'll be in a book of Revelation. I always like to finish on time, and I just want to say thank God for each and every one of you who call back and take time out of your busy schedule. Start reading the book of James. And if you want to understand the book of Hebrews a little better and you didn't read the whole book, if you got time, go back and read, or at least read the 7, 8, and 9 chapter. And we're going to be in the book of James next week if God says the same. So to each and every one of you, I want to say thank you. God bless and be upon you. Thank you, Brother Marvin, for your participation in the Bible study on tonight. And thank you, Sister Maddie, for having the wisdom to ask for prayer, because the Bible teaches us that we should go to the brethren and the sisters and ask for the things that we need, and we should ask for prayer for one another, from one another, and God will deliver. And I just want to thank everybody. And since Brother Ernest, really, he did us a beginning and an ending prayer, I'm a take it like that. And so I'm going to only do a benediction. And y'all know my favorite thing is 2 Peter 3:18. I'm asking that each and every one of you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And remember, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of yours. And I want everybody to be blessed. And if God says the same thing, see you next week. Happy Valentine to each one of you. And remember, give God the glory. And that's our program for tonight. Good night. Be blessed. Amen.